A rapid succession of animal eyes. BBC Natural World. Countless birds taking flight. A shimmering mass of airborne movement.
Birds are masters of the skies. There are more than 10,000 species, and they behave in a huge variety of different ways.
The flock wheels and turns.
But of all the birds I've filmed over the years, there's nothing that can really compare with these comic characters. That's not just because of their great size, but because they can't do the one thing that birds are famous for doing. They can't fly.
The ostrich, the emu and the rhea, together with two other birds, the kiwi and the cassowary, are the court jesters of the avian world. They're a family with a remarkable success story, despite having never flown a day in their lives.
The black plumage of an ostrich.
But exactly how and why did these birds abandon flight? It's one of the natural world's great mysteries, and it's taxed some of the finest minds in science from Darwin's time right through to the present day. And now, DNA is promising to give us the answer.
But what is even more exciting than the remarkable evolutionary history of these birds is their behaviour. Because if you're a bird that can't fly, you have to find other ways of surviving.
Attenborough's Big Birds. A flat scrubland plain at dawn.
It's said that a bird is three things: feathers, flight, and song.
A large flightless bird with a long neck lifts its head up.
But what happens if you're a bird which can't fly, which doesn't sing, and whose feathers are closer to fluff? Well, then you have to come up with some pretty unusual ways of surviving.
A flightless bird bobbing its head.
This small group of birds are real oddballs, with a ragbag of characteristics that help them with life on the ground.
Ostriches running.
Among their number is the fastest bird on land. A bird with the biggest eyes on Earth. One has dagger-sharp talons. Another, killer thighs.
An ostrich runs with its head lowered in an aggressive charge.
Their chicks hatch, ready to run.
A small group of chicks running across rocky ground.
And they all have crazy hair.
Tufty hair and long eyelashes.
And useless wings. This lot couldn't fly even if they wanted to, because their feathers aren't like those of other birds. They don't have barbs that link together into air-catching veins like normal wing feathers. Nor can they be held neatly and tightly together. They're more like a fluffy feather boa. Without a role in flight, these feathers act instead as warm blankets, or insect repellers, or props in an exotic dance.
An ostrich amidst a herd of antelopes.
But if you're a bird that hasn't flown a day in its life, then beauty isn't enough to survive. The first, the fastest, and the biggest of all our birds is the ostrich.
One is pacing slowly.
Indeed, it's the largest bird in the world. Standing up to 3 meters tall, it weighs up to 150 kilos.
It eats from the ground with a pecking motion.
On the African plains, It lives alongside some of the world's most dangerous predators.
The two-toed feet of an ostrich.
Hyenas. Lions. And cheetahs.
Three stalking cheetahs moving through long dry grass, observing a stationary ostrich from a distance. The big bird turns its head, taking in its surroundings.
Pounding across the plains, it uses its powerful legs to run for its life.
One cheetah breaks into a sprint, and the ostrich does the same.
Adult birds can run at speeds of up to 70 kilometers, over 40 miles an hour, covering almost 5 meters in a single stride.
The ostrich soon outpaces the cheetah, which turns its attention to a second, younger bird. It too accelerates away, but the predator manages to leap onto it, grabbing it with its front legs. The ostrich continues to run, but more cheetahs are bearing down on it. One of them leaps at the fleeing bird and brings it down. A cheetah bites the ostrich's neck.
This young ostrich hadn't quite developed the power or agility needed to escape these speediest of predators. But it still took the combined skill and experience of a team of cheetahs working together to bring the young ostrich down.
An alert-looking ostrich.
This is, nonetheless, a remarkable and very rare sight. Most ostriches escape from such attacks.
The cheetah continues to grip the neck of the fallen bird.
Adult ostriches are powerhouses of strength and agility and are seldom caught by predators.
The bare branches of a tree, silhouetted by a low-hanging sun.
The second of our birds also has size and speed on its side. But for the biggest bird in South America, there is danger of a different kind.
Stepping slowly through the long grass is a rhea, a large flightless bird with grey-brown plumage, long legs and long neck, similar to an ostrich.
This Argentinian rhea has grown big, indeed bigger than most of the mammals that live here.
It stops and turns its head slowly, keeping an eye out for danger.
But this male has, nonetheless, to remain alert from attacks from one of his own kind.
A second rhea charges, its wings raised upwards.
It's the beginning of the breeding season, and males are starting to spar, sizing up their rival's strength before the real battle to breed begins.
From a brief clash between the two males to the victor with his brown plumage ruffled up and wings extended outwards. A female walks by behind him.
To the winner, two females. But although this fight has been won, the coming war will doubtless see him forced to defend his gains.
Now, another low-lying sun and distinctive three-toed footprints, which have been made in dark, reddish dirt.
Here in the Australian outback roams the second largest of our big birds, the emu.
The emu's also very similar to the ostrich and the rhea. Its shaggy plumage is grey-brown.
A nomadic character, he uses his spectacularly elongated legs and ferocious-looking feet to go walkabout. Meaning he can cover vast distances in search of food and water.
A number of emus appear to shimmer in the heat as they walk in single file across the horizon. One of them walks down to the edge of a waterhole.
Emu truly are wanderers. Always on the move, following the rains, they walk hundreds of kilometres.
A kangaroo is drinking nearby as the emu lowers its long neck and fills its beak with water.
And when they find water, they take on board all they can.
Another scooping movement fills the bird's large beak.
But flightless birds in Australia aren't restricted to the parched outback.
Flying over a lush forest.
In the tropical rainforest in the north of the country lives another one.
A large flightless bird with a horn-like crest on its head steps across a sandy beach.
It stands almost 2 meters tall and has a dinosaur-like crest and dagger-sharp claws that give it a lethal kick.
The mainly black bird has blue and green colouring on its head and a red wattle hanging down from its neck.
Cassowaries are fiercely territorial, and one will fight to the death to defend itself or its magnificent emerald green eggs.
With gentle touches of its beak and claws, a cassowary gently tends to its eggs, which are lying in a leafy nest on the ground. It then positions itself over the eggs and slowly lowers its fluffy black body down over them.
Like the rest of his family in Africa, South America and Australia, it's a bird which has taken an evolutionary route very different from that of its aeronautical relatives.
A taxidermised cassowary in a museum, then David looking at illustrations of the bird in a book.
Cassowaries vary greatly in coloration, so it's debatable how many species there are. Probably three.
Stars wheeling in the sky.
Another flightless bird lives in New Zealand, hidden in the forests and only active at night. It could be called the runt of the litter.
A small flightless bird with a long, slender beak.
Standing only half a metre or so tall, this is a kiwi. More like a mammal than a bird, it has dense, hair-like plumage and a very long, very sensitive beak, which makes up for its tiny and all but useless eyes. It walks along like a little hobbit with its arms behind its back.
It's prodding at the ground with its beak.
When in the 19th century tales of the kiwi reached naturalists in England, they thought them merely figments of early travellers' imaginations.
Natural History Museum, Tring.
One of the largest collections of this weird walking family was amassed by a Victorian English eccentric, Walter Rothschild.
David's walking past cabinets, looking at expertly preserved examples of flightless birds.
Collectively, these extraordinary birds are known as the ratites. Flightless birds that just grew and grew. From the smallest, the kiwi, to the largest alive today, the ostrich. But their ancient relatives were even more impressive.
Bird skeletons.
Enormous birds that would have towered over me, like the moa from New Zealand, or the elephant bird from Madagascar.
An illustration of one extinct bird.
But exactly why did these birds abandon flight? Well, flying is a very energetic business, much more so than walking or running. And birds don't fly unless they have to.
Some, like penguins, gave up flight relatively recently and took to the water. But they still have strong wings, which they use like paddles for swimming.
A penguin breaches the surface of the sea.
The ratites are different. They are the original flightless birds. And they're the only birds whose skeletons make them incapable of flight. Hidden beneath their mass of feathery fluff is a flat, raft-like breastbone that lacks the ridge onto which flight muscles can be attached. In fact, it's this which gives them their name, from the Latin word ratis, meaning raft. So, whilst there are other birds which don't fly, our very special family, the ratites, stand entirely apart from all the others. They are the Flintstones of the bird world, a group whose lineage can be traced back to the time when dinosaurs walked the earth.
A dinosaur skeleton becomes flesh.
The dinosaurs once dominated the land, just as their relatives, the pterosaurs, ruled the skies. But when, 66 million years ago, both groups were wiped out, some of the ancient birds seized their moment and made a bid to dominate the land themselves.
A small bird grows larger.
Some, the ancestral ratites, grew big and fat, with long, strong legs, until one day they were too heavy to fly. Since then, of course, the mammals have fought back, and in most places, they won. But the elephant bird and the moa, now extinct, survived until a few centuries ago, and five others still flourish across the southern hemisphere: the ostrich, the emu, the cassowary, the rhea, and the kiwi.
Ratite distribution is illustrated on a map. Close-up details of ratites, their faces, legs, and feet.
The success of the ratites today is largely due to some bizarre breeding and very complicated relationships. Males mating with multiple females, females mating with multiple males, fathers raising chicks which aren't theirs. The tenacity and endurance of these dedicated dads has helped raise generations of walking giants. So how do our motley crew ensure the survival of their offspring when safe treetop nests are out of the question? Well, it takes a lot of work.
An emu strides slowly around seven chicks. Australia.
For the emu in the Australian outback, the breeding season starts in the winter. This is when a male needs to be at his heaviest. Large bodies enable ratites to develop large guts, so unlike small flying birds, they can stock up on plenty of plants and seeds.
An emu's long leg takes a forward step.
Soon he will mate, and he will be the one who will incubate the eggs.
Emus picking at green foliage.
During his time on the nest, he won't eat or drink, so he's preparing for that by fattening up.
Pecking at the ground.
This time of the year is all about finding food, and some enterprising males even go into town to pick up dinner.
Four emus crossing a road as fast-moving cars approach in the distance. They slow down to allow the big birds to pass. From a sign that reads Emu Street to the emus looking for food in a residential area. Traffic passing by, then one bird crossing a street.
A strange sight, but the locals are used to it.
A large truck towing two trailers drives past, and several emus run off together. Now, an emu preening with its beak.
When they're ready to breed, male ratites start to try and impress females, and they do so with some pretty flamboyant dance moves.
A rhea attempts to impress a female by moving its long neck from side to side.
Ratites might not be strong contenders in a beauty contest, but these males certainly know how to move and groove. From the ostrich to the cassowary, the males all work hard to show off their best features.
A cassowary performs some nifty dance steps. Argentina.
Just how hard can be seen on the grasslands of Argentina?
The soft plumage of a rhea fluttering in a breeze.
It's spring, and the rheas are preparing for the breeding season.
One of the long-legged birds is strutting slowly past some capybara, large, furry rodents. The bird's pecking at the ground.
Male rheas, with their distinctive black markings, have broken away from the flocks in which they spend the rest of the year. Now is the time for courtship, when their feathers will be shown off in all their splendour.
Preening.
As ratites no longer fly, they have no gland to produce the oil needed to preen their feathers into continuous air-catching surfaces. But with a little grooming, their plumage can be very impressive.
Feathers being shaken out, and the bird's muscular thigh.
This male has managed to secure several females for himself.
He displays to them, his large wings extended out to the sides.
Herding them with his outstretched wings, a male can maintain a harem of anything from 2 to 10 females, as long as he can keep them close.
He pecks at the ground.
He doesn't let them out of his sight, courting each one in turn.
The many individual quills of its wing feathers come together like a closing fan as it tucks its wings into its sides.
And the grand finale of his mating ritual?
Raising and lowering its head.
This curious head-bobbing dance.
The rhea's head's performing a figure eight.
It's hardly a tango. And the object of his affections doesn't seem particularly impressed.
Unperturbed, the rhea continues with its head bobs.
But despite the lack of encouragement, he'll spend most of the breeding season herding and head bobbing to his females until they're ready to mate. Unless, of course, this rival male can rob him of his hard-won harem.
The newcomer strides through long grass, then begins to run towards the male and his gathered females. The first bird holds his ground, facing his challenger with his head held down. Then, when the newcomer is near enough, the rhea strikes, grabbing his rival by the beak. The two birds struggle with their necks extended upwards, each trying to gain an advantage. The newcomer forces the first bird backwards.
Rising up as high as he can, he puts on a show of size and strength. This performance has rarely been filmed. It's a tango of a different, aggressive kind, with plenty of Latin American spirit.
One bird briefly pushes the other's head downwards. They stand close together, mouths open, and at one point they wrap their necks around each other slightly. The challenger grips the first bird's beak in its own and pushes it backwards. Tearing its beak free, the first bird decides enough is enough and runs off. The victor gives chase for a while, seeing him off.
Today, there is someone better than he.
The vanquished emu stops running and has a look around.
He retreats, leaving the rival male to take his place on the dance floor.
The rival starts bobbing his head and spreads his wings out to display his plumage.
This male is, it seems, a little more persuasive.
The female rears move closer. The male focuses on one of them, pinching her repeatedly on the base of her long neck. She pecks at him several times. But he perseveres, holding on tightly.
Exactly how Raphaites mate was a mystery only solved by scientists in the last few years. Most birds don't have a penis. Instead, both the male and female birds have an opening called a cloaca.
The females assumed a seated position on the ground.
That certainly helps to streamline the body of a flying bird. The male ratite, however, is different. He does have a penis, and it was once assumed that these large birds would have blood-based erection systems similar to humans.
The male rear mounts the female.
But in fact, the ostrich, emu, and rear enlarge their penises with lymph fluid. They also have a few additional muscles to keep everything in place.
The male rear stands, pulling his penis from the female. It has a coiled appearance as it slowly retracted into his body.
While it's known that male and female rears will mate with several different partners over the course of the breeding season, there is much less certainty with another of our ratite family.
New Zealand. The long branches of a fallen tree. Green grass and, in the distance, a rolling hill with woodland.
On the islands of New Zealand lives an enigma. The most secretive of our flightless birds. Hidden in these ancient and mysterious forests, it only emerges after dusk.
In time-lapse, the sun descends towards the horizon. Clouds darkening as they scud across the sky. Night descends and stars wheel above silhouetted trees. A man turns on an infrared floodlight that's been set up in the forest.
Only in the pitch-black dead of night does it call. Ratites might not sing, but their mating calls are certainly piercing. This is a bird which is heard but seldom seen. Scientists have to struggle to catch sight of the kiwi, let alone to understand its behaviour, even when they work around the clock.
A woman carrying a torch walks through the forest.
But using infrared light, which the kiwis can't see, and radio transmitters to track them in the darkness, the researchers here are slowly piecing together a picture of this shy bird.
The woman holds up a listening device.
For the last 11 years, I've been looking at the breeding behavior of kiwi and everything that is associated with it.
Dr. Isabel Castro is a Colombian expert on kiwis who's lived in New Zealand for the past 25 years.
This environment where they are is completely different than our environment. They are nocturnal while we are diurnal. And for many years before we started this research, people thought that they had these relatively boring lives. And yet, as soon as we started this project, we started finding out these fantastic things about their intimate life. There has been all sorts of things that were completely unexpected and that made now these birds very extraordinary because we didn't know those things before.
A kiwi steps from behind a tree.
Living in complete darkness, unable to see virtually anything, the eyes of the kiwi are all but useless. But unusually for a bird, it's got a great sense of smell, which it uses to find its way around.
It prods its long beak deep into the undergrowth.
By setting up remote cameras, the scientists have been able to capture behavior never filmed before in the wild. Two males fighting.
Their eyes glow brightly in the infrared light as their clumsy skirmish sends them reeling about each other. They jab at one another with their beaks, their tussle covering a lot of ground. Eventually, one of the birds is chased off, and it takes a tumble, having collided with a fallen tree branch.
A female calling for her mate.
She throws her head back with each cry.
Males and females have different calls. The females have this very coarse, grunty call, as all females should have, you know. And the males have these whistles that are beautiful and piercing.
Isabel and her team even managed to film a kiwi family with a tiny chick.
An adult kiwi picks its way slowly towards its mate. The little chick is barely visible next to the second adult.
Kiwis are the only nocturnal ratites, and by far the smallest.
Now, a kiwi is walking along the edge of a grassy clearing, pecking at the ground.
This big bird isn't big at all. It only weighs about 2 kilos. Kiwis never grew big because they lived alongside the now extinct moas. With those giant herbivores already roaming New Zealand, the kiwi's evolution took an alternative path. It remained small, became nocturnal, and omnivorous.
The kiwi locates and guzzles down worms.
With nostrils at the end of its beak, the kiwi sniffs out insects and worms at night. And then stays in the safety of its burrow for the day.
Isabel's walking through the dark but beautiful forest.
Unlike the other ratites, it nests underground.
She climbs a small hill and shines her infrared torch into a burrow.
Until recently, it was thought that kiwis bred in monogamous pairs. But now, DNA analysis has painted a much more complicated picture.
They are very naughty, kiwi. For a long time, we thought that they were really good birds, and they mate with one another, and one male, one female, but no, they're not like that at all. They do stray a little bit, they do stray.
It seems that breeding is a little more flexible than just one-on-one. Some birds seem to breed in family groups. Others may raise young as a pair, even though the chicks might not belong to dad. However, it's the males who shoulder the burden of incubation, and the eggs in their care are among the oddest on Earth. This is a kiwi's egg. It's the biggest in proportion to body size of any bird's egg. It weighs about a fifth as much as the adult bird. It's so big it takes 80 days to incubate. And Maoris used to say the tree roots would grow over a kiwi's nest. This is the egg of another ratite, an ostrich. And curiously, it is the smallest egg in terms of body weight for any bird in the world.
South Africa.
These ostrich eggs are unusual in other ways. They too are part of an elaborate game of pick and mix. Because ostriches are almost like cuckoos, females will lay in the nests of other ostriches. But unlike the cuckoo, the owners of the nest know about it, and they don't seem to mind.
An ostrich tending a nest with more than a dozen eggs.
It may help to have a few spare eggs. The female seems to be able to recognize her own eggs, keeping them at the center of the nest while rolling out others as sacrifices to any predator brave enough to make an attack.
Discarded eggs around the nest.
Up to six female ostriches may lay in a single nest.
The ostrich keeps a lookout.
For most members of the ratite family, the rhea, the emu and the cassowary, incubation is something of a gentleman's club. Females aren't welcome. But the ostrich does things a little differently. The male and female take turns at caring for the clutch, keeping watch by day and night to make sure nothing has a chance to steal the eggs.
An ostrich gently adjusting an egg's position.
This father-to-be is carefully rolling the eggs to make sure the embryo inside gets evenly warmed. In the cold of the night, he uses his feathers as a blanket to cover his charges.
From the sun disappearing behind the horizon to it reappearing the next day, arcing up behind a solitary tree.
Communicating by clacking their beaks, this couple share the parental burden.
The ostrich that's currently sitting on the eggs rises to its feet.
They take turns to sit on the eggs, which, although small compared to the ostrich itself, weigh in fact almost 2 kilos each, the largest eggs laid by any living animal.
The warm light of the sun reflected on an eggshell. A jackal is prowling towards a clutch of eggs.
Left unattended, such large eggs soon attract attention.
It paws at an egg.
These ostrich eggs are giant ready meals for a variety of African animals. You can't make an omelette without breaking eggs, and this jackal has worked out just how to crack one against another and so release his lunch.
It kicks an egg backwards with its front legs. Soon the egg is broken and the jackal's tearing at its soft contents. From the jackal licking at the yolk to a bird of prey landing by some unattended eggs.
The Egyptian vulture has its own ingenious version of smash and grab.
The bird picks up a rock in its beak and slams it down on top of an egg. It repeats the process until the shell cracks. It then picks the shell apart with its beak to access the interior.
It's perhaps not surprising that up to 90% of ostrich clutches are totally destroyed.
An ostrich egg lies broken on the grass, yolk spilt on the jagged edges. A nest of cream and white eggs glisten in a ground nest made of dried straw.
In South America, rheas nest in a similar way to the ostrich.
A rhea plants its foot amongst the dozen eggs.
For 2 weeks, females lay their eggs in one shallow communal nest. Each egg is 12 times the size of that of a chicken. But unlike the ostrich, it's the male who settles down to do all the hard work. He alone will incubate these eggs, and he does so for more than 5 weeks, whatever the weather.
The rain's pouring down in the grassy field where the nest has been constructed. Fronds of grass blow in the wind, while the male rhea sits quietly on the nest. His feathers are soggy and his eyes are alert, blinking as raindrops hit them. It's sunrise, and the male rhea is still sitting patiently on the nest, his neck curled under his head.
It's an arduous task. 65% of males abandon their nests, many because they don't have the energy to sustain themselves without going away to feed.
In the daytime, the rhea's raised itself up off the eggs and is touching one with its beak.
The females, however, never put all their eggs in one basket. Once they've mated with this one male, they move on to another, so increasing the chance that at least some of their young will survive.
A golden sun crests the horizon, silhouetting a tree line. 4 of the eggs are unhatched, and egg fragments litter the nest.
Nesting on the ground, out in the open, means that inevitably the eggs are vulnerable.
A close-up of the dimpled surface of an ostrich egg.
From the enormous eggs of the ostrich to the green eggs of the emu.
Green-tinged eggs in close-up, then scaly emu legs protruding from under the fluffy body.
But for one of their relatives, the battle to keep their clutches safe was, in the end, lost.
These are the leg bones of the elephant bird. It was the largest of the ratites. Indeed, it was one of the biggest birds ever known. It stood over 3 meters tall and weighed half a ton.
It lived on the ancient island of Madagascar, which I visited over 50 years ago.
A skeleton of the ostrich-like elephant bird with thick leg bones and a long, tapering spine. Black and white archive footage of a young David in a 4x4 driving along a dusty Madagascan valley.
Before Europeans ever went to the island, it had a reputation for being the home of really strange, fabulous beasts. And Marco Polo, 700 years ago, believed that it was the home of the fabulous bird, the rook. The rook, which carried off Sinbad the sailor and which was reputed to be able to carry off elephants in its talons, as this one is doing. But Marco Polo had very good reason for thinking that it lived in Madagascar, because he heard stories that in Madagascar were found gigantic eggs over 2 feet long. What else could have laid them but the rook?
Well, I was lucky enough to find some pieces of the rook, or elephant bird's egg.
David sitting on his haunches, inspecting egg fragments half a centimetre thick.
And even luckier, to be given some pieces that looked like they might belong to one egg.
A pile of larger fragments.
Now, would they fit together?
He holds two heavy fragments together.
These two certainly did.
He uses masking tape on both the inside and outside to hold them in place.
At the end of an hour, I had two halves.
Each half resembles a cracked football, and he carefully lines them up to slot together.
And to my joy, they fitted together perfectly. There was a place for even such a tiny fragment as this. The egg was well nigh perfect. As I held it, I had little difficulty in imagining the country as it must have been when great numbers of gigantic birds over 10 feet tall strode majestically through the swamps.
This is the egg that I brought back from Madagascar all those years ago. It's the biggest egg ever laid by anything, bigger by far than even the egg of the biggest dinosaur. As you might imagine, it could have made a meal for quite a lot of people. And that may well be, some people think, the reason why the elephant bird became extinct. If it wasn't for human beings, the elephant bird might still be walking around on Madagascar.
David's looking at artists' impressions of gargantuan birds.
The same fate met the moas of New Zealand, some kinds of which weighed over 200 kilos. The elephant bird might have been the biggest bird ever to exist, but some think that one species of moa was the tallest. And moas too were hunted and had their eggs eaten by humans until there were none left. We know this because of the careful detective work scientists have done on their bones. It's not the only puzzle that fragments of extinct bird like these of the moa might be able to solve. If these birds were flightless, how did they manage to spread around the world, from the deserts of Africa to the rainforests of Australia? It's a conundrum that has puzzled minds for centuries.
A small bird skeleton.
Not that long ago, scientists thought they had the answer. All the places in which the ratites live had once been part of a supercontinent called Gondwanaland. Perhaps our birds came from one common ancestor, which was also flightless, that roamed all over that land. Then, millions of years ago, when the continent split up, populations of this bird were separated. As their homes drifted into new positions, the isolated birds adapted and evolved in different ways, producing everything from the tiny kiwi to the huge extinct elephant bird. But ancient bones are telling a different story. Scientists have recently been sequencing DNA from the bones of extinct ratites and compared them with living flightless birds. And the results have come as a huge surprise. The mighty elephant bird, which should be most closely related to the ostrich, turns out to be most similar to the tiny kiwi. Not what was expected at all. So how could this possibly be? Well, an unexpected character is providing some answers. A little-known ratite relative, the tinamou, that lives in Central and South America.
An artist's impression of the ratite group.
DNA has recently revealed that it isn't a distant relative, a cousin, say, but instead a sibling, smack in the middle of the ratite family tree. Which is remarkable because tinamous can fly. Now, if all the ratites and the tinamous evolved from one flightless ancestor, then the tinamous must have relearned how to fly. But there are no known examples of a species of flightless bird regaining flight. So this suggests that the common ancestor of the ratites and the tinamous wasn't flightless at all. it could fly.
Animated continents separating.
Our birds might not have drifted away from one another on the lands in which they live today. Instead, their ancestors must have flown across miles of ocean to reach the far corners of the world, and only then did they independently lose the ability to fly.
Birds flying across the world before landing on different continents, where new members of the family sprout up.
It's an amazing thought, but the ratites lost their ability to fly independently and on several different occasions.
Thousands of miles apart from each other, on their separate continents, each kind of ratite developed into its own flightless form. The ostrich and the rhea kept their wings and evolved elaborate uses for their feathers. The wings of the emu and cassowary became short and tiny. And the kiwi, well, its wings are now all but invisible.
At night, a kiwi ruffles its feathers.
Although the details are different, the demands of living on the ground meant that all the ratites evolved in their own way into flightlessness. And there's one survival strategy which they all share and which begins when they hatch.
In Australia, a large ratite sitting in dry grass near a leafless tree.
In the Australian outback, this male emu's hard work over the past 56 days is about to pay off.
It gets to its feet, revealing a clutch of baby emu in amongst broken egg fragments.
He is a father.
He turns to face them.
His chicks, like all newly hatched ratites, are able to get up and go almost from the moment they break free from their eggs.
Craning his neck down to the nest, he looks at the striped baby birds, then lowers himself.
This is an invaluable ability for a chick, which is, after all, a very succulent mouthful for almost any predator.
The emu pulls an intact egg closer to the brood.
Emu chicks with their tawny markings are known to Australians as stripies.
He sits back down on the nest, keeping a lookout. One of the chicks pops its head out from under its dad. It has a little look around.
Their dedicated dad will spend the next 6 months caring for them, by which time they will already have grown to at least half his height. That is, if they ever hurry up and hatch.
With the dad standing up, two more of the eggs are hatching. One of the chicks is awkwardly trying to extract itself from behind the broken shell.
The chicks had to work hard to free themselves from the eggshells. Now they need a drink.
The emu's eyes are orangey-yellow.
Their father must face a tough decision.
A chick gets up and waddles beneath its parent. With the chick underneath, the adult emu gently sits back down and pulls a solitary egg towards himself.
One egg still hasn't hatched. If he stays and waits for it to do so, the older chicks may die.
The chicks are looking around inquisitively, spotted heads a little unstable on their long, striped necks.
It's likely that he can hear sounds coming from within the unhatched egg.
Standing up from his brood.
Meanwhile, the harsh Australian sun scorches down on those of his offspring, desperately waiting for their first drink.
The sun is high in the sky and appears to pulse with heat. the last remaining dark green egg still unhatched, and the emu sitting back down on his brood. Egg membrane has dried up and peeled on the inside of another egg. Some feathers are stuck to the outer layer of a shell fragment. Now, the adult emu and chicks have moved away from the nest.
After many agonizing hours, he makes his choice.
One of the chicks loses its footing and falls over in the dry grass. The remaining egg has been left in the sun amongst shell debris. The rest of the chicks are following their parent.
Leading the brood to find water, this father helps a new generation of big birds take their first steps.
Four chicks waddle in their father's footsteps, hurrying along behind him as dusk draws in. One of them falls over, then another carefully gauges a minor jump and lands successfully. The blazing sun droops towards the horizon. Light reflected on the creamy white dimpled surface of an egg.
From South Africa to South America, an extraordinary combination of mating behavior and parental care has produced birds which are very special indeed.
An ostrich chick's breaking out of its shell, having torn through the membrane. A close-up shows fine black, brown and straw-coloured feathers.
These young ostriches will soon grow into the biggest birds in the world.
Juveniles running on a path.
Although today, as they take tiny steps across this vast landscape, that day seems a long way off. The next generation of ratites. A reminder of how one remarkable group of birds independently seized a moment when there were no predators around to hunt them down and set off down various but similar evolutionary paths. The only group of birds to have become massive and flightless. It wasn't long before some mammals also became big and dominant. And when they did, the window of opportunity for more birds to do so closed. But what an opportunity it was. And those birds which took advantage of it are truly remarkable.
The young ostriches have found a watering hole.
Scientists are currently working to gather still more clues from birds both extinct and living to add even more detail to their amazing evolutionary history. We can only hope that it will help us to better understand this family of birds, which are surely flightless wonders.
In slow motion, the ostriches run off, their scraggly feathers silhouetted by a peach-coloured sky. Then they're trailing at the heels of their parents on scrubland at dusk.